Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, one of the big changes to our daily lives over the past 12 months has been the move to working from home, alongside, of course, the shutdown of the high street retail businesses. Offices are empty and city centre shopping districts deserted. So you can imagine the impact that is having on sales of food-to-go products such as pre-packed sandwiches and salads. Now, the Irish-based London-listed Greencore is the UK's largest maker of own-label sandwiches, over 700 million a year, making up the largest chunk of its 1 billion euro business. So how is a large-scale, labour-intensive food company such as Greencore coping at these in these strange times, not to mention with the impact of Brexit to operations as well? Well, Patrick Coveney, CEO of Greencore, he joins me in studio. Good morning and welcome back, Patrick.
Morning, Damien.
Lots to discuss, but first, you know, what has the impact of the pandemic been on that core sandwich and convenience food business?
Yeah, I mean, right now our food-to-go, our sandwich business is back about a third year on year, while we're in what we're referring to as lockdown three in the UK. So, I mean, that's significant. It, you know, it means we've got less people working, and it hurts our financial performance. Now, fortunately, we can work our way through that, and we are. But frankly, as I was saying to you beforehand, by far the biggest impact is trying to keep 10 to 12,000 people safe, because while many of our customers have the option of working from home, everyone who works for Greencore pretty much you know, needs to be in food factories, in distribution centres. And so by far the biggest leadership and business challenge for us since last March has been in the context of being absolutely essential to keeping the country fed. How do we keep people safe through this pandemic?
You mentioned there about your staff, and you did actually have a big outbreak in Northampton, was it? Say last July, 300 of your workforce there tested positive, and Mac Hancock ended up getting directly involved. Yeah. It was declared a virus hotspot. Yeah. Just as the CEO of an organisation in a pandemic, trying to mitigate against that, trying to manage the risk as an essential business of continuing, but obviously labour intensive, where they're all working close together. You were probably dreading that call, but can you remember hearing it, and what was your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is, I mean, we've been speaking with the Department of Health, and in particular Public Health England, pretty much every day since early March of last year. And actually, just without being too defensive about what happened last August, the support and the validation from Public Health England around the measures that we had in our facility in Northampton was very, very helpful. I mean, what we had was a massive level of community transmission in Northampton, which then was picked up in the testing that we were doing in our facility. But interestingly, what we're doing now, Damien, I think is a really good example of pushing on further. So we, as a business in the UK, we're one of the only food companies that is doing weekly testing of pretty much all our colleagues. So we are now, we're using this technology called lateral flow testing. We have 8,000 Greencore staff that we are testing for COVID every week. Right, it's called the mass testing program, and that first of all is helping us manage COVID. It's very reassuring to all of our colleagues who work for us, and it's now leading, even with the heightened level of concern about the virus and the heightened incidence in the UK, which is still very high. You know, we're running now with an absence level for COVID that's only at about 2.5%. We've got every facility open, and our total absence is about 5%, which is less than half the absence level across the overall supply chain in the UK. So, you know, this is the most important stuff that we can be doing as leaders. We'll make money in the future. Don't worry about that. But right now, there's an absolute moral responsibility to keep our people safe while we're getting on with this mission of feeding Britain and indeed also making quite a lot of product in Britain that's being consumed by Irish consumers as well.
Yeah, I'm interested that you're very confident about the future, and I think you've said that it might be 2022 before you start making money, as you say, again. But one of the long-term legacies of COVID possibly will be that more and more of us will be working from home. There'll be less of us commuting. And that's where you pick up a lot of business, people on the run, running into a sandwich shop, grabbing it and going. So are you thinking about the future and maybe thinking outside the box about how you recoup that business?
Absolutely. I mean, now I think dependence on our business for office workers is a little overstated. So about 30% of our sandwich sales go to office workers. So the other 70% is, mobile tradespeople, students, retired people, people on holiday, people working from, where they're required to move around a lot. So the 30% of people who, office workers in city centres is important, but we still have a very big business in other parts of the market. I think we are all going to see some changes to how people work. My personal view is that some of that is a little overstated. If you engage with people who are currently working from home, lots of them don't like it. About two-thirds, in fact, are strongly advocating for and looking forward to being able to get back into an environment where they can engage with colleagues and, frankly, in many cases, get out of the home, where it works for some people at some stages in life. But, I can tell you, having lots and lots of young people who work for us, that, working in cramped spaces with young kids who can't go to school, it's very, very stressful.
Speaking of that, are you hearing that from people about, the tough January in particular, that it's been, in terms of mental health and stress?
Yeah, I think January's been brutal, to be honest with you. I mean, we've had the COVID pressures, we've had the added COVID pressures of the new strain and how virulent it is. You and I were talking just before I came on, but, all of us, know examples of COVID very, very close to home. And we know of bereavements close to home, whether it be work colleagues or people in our extended community.
I think the third wave.
And then on top of that, though, we've got the kind of traditional January blues, like it's dark, it's raining all the time. And so it feels like the month that's gone on forever, to be honest with you. And that is feeding through to be a bit more serious. It's to mental health pressures that are very significant across all parts of society. And we see that in the people who work for us.
Okay. I presume you would have travelled quite a lot prior to all of this, your headquarters in Dublin, but obviously a lot of plants in the UK and so on. That's all changed. You've been more grounded probably and doing more virtual meetings and all that. Yeah. Is that something that's going to change as well? Or do you think we'll all be itching to get back to face-to-face meetings and travelling around again?
I think it's huge change for me, right? I mean, I would have had, I would have been out of Ireland 3.5 days a week for a decade before COVID, right? And that's the nature of the job. That's how I do it. I like to be out with my teams, our teams, with our customers, suppliers, shareholders and all that. Since last March, I've left the country for work once. I did 2 weeks in October in the UK. And the rest of it has all been virtual. So I think two things will happen in relation to travel going forward. One is I think there will be a natural, almost overcompensation when we can travel to get out, to spend time with, in our business, with our teams, with our customers. But I think there are some things that we've learned, right? That it is possible to do more. Virtually, it is possible to do more through what have become the kind of dreaded Zooms and Teams calls, right? And I think there are elements of travel that were done before that I think we've learned are a little unnecessary. But speaking personally, I can't wait to get moving again,
Yeah. I'm going to segue from the pandemic neatly to Brexit. The EU and the UK, as we know, in the last 24 hours, the last week, they've had the first real post-deal scrap regarding the rollout of vaccines and threats of triggering Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol. Is this a glimpse of relations to come?
Yeah, there's going to be some tensions, all right. I mean, just narrowly on that, the EU got it wrong, and I'm glad they changed their mind, because the moment you start invoking these clauses in the Northern Ireland Protocol, you open it up for all sorts of uncertainties. And so it was a mistake and it's been fixed, which is good. But I think the...
And the reason I ask you that is because you're running a business in the UK where you're going to be importing an awful lot of ingredients. You're going to be doing an awful lot of east-west, west-east trade with Ireland, for example. So you would be keeping an eye on relations there and hoping that the will be smooth.
Yeah, I mean, there's two aspects to it, Damien, for us, right? So the first is, we sell about £1.5 billion of product every year pre-COVID, right? And so we buy £750 million worth of raw material and packaging. Nearly 100 million of that comes from Ireland, actually. And the fortunately, with the tariff-free trading arrangements and the supply chain systems as they are, we're not having any problem in sourcing raw materials and packaging at the moment, nor are we seeing material levels of inflation. So that's good, right? The challenge is the portion of our business, it's about 2% of Greencore, that we would sell into Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland. And, you know, I think what we're finding is those supply chains are much more complicated, and particularly for fresh food, which might only have 5, 6, 8 days life on product. What we're finding right now is that the Northern Ireland Protocol and the associated trading arrangements is taking 2 to 3 days of that life out of the product. And that's a problem. Because, you know, clearly, you know, if you're a consumer picking up a ready meal or a punnet of raspberries, right, and you're
3 days,
and suddenly you've lost 3 days life, and you thought you were going to be able to have 6 days to eat it, you only have three.
But have these scenarios at Calais and Dover, have they come true yet?
No,
or is it still early?
The Calais Dover much hyped problems haven't really come to pass. The big issue, and I think it is a real issue for Ireland, and it's an issue for British-Irish trade, and it's in Britain, it's very high profile in relation to Northern Ireland, because all of our customers are under very significant pressure to keep shelves stocked and Northern Ireland citizens you know, served with food. In Ireland, we have some problems too, right? You know, if you go to some of the retailers here, and they're struggling to get to keep up availability of fresh ingredients. So it's a problem. It's a consequence of Brexit. I think we'll get a bit better, but you're going to see sustained pressure on both governments and on the EU to see whether or not there are tweaks that you could put in place over time that make it a bit easier. The kind of stuff that happened last night isn't helpful, to be honest with you, and that kind of dialing up of tension between... but listen, like, vaccinations is a big issue, right?
Yeah.
It's the solution to COVID. There's rightly a ton of emotion about it. And, you know, I say this here, you know, I think the EU and I think Ireland, for the most part, has managed the healthcare side of this quite well. I mean, on a per capita basis, Damien, where, you know, Britain has had more than three times as many deaths from COVID as Ireland. But they are going to vaccinate their population 6 months before we will.
Yeah,
right? I mean, and that's bad.
When you talk there about Calais Dover not happening, when you look at how the EU had to pull their horns in yesterday, when you look at the vaccinations, all that, the Brexiteers are really going to be able to say to us, we told you so, best thing we ever did.
That is probably an unfortunate consequence of this, yeah. I mean, they probably are two different things, but the truth is, for whatever combination of skill, luck, planning, call it what you will, Britain is going to succeed in vaccinating its population probably 6 months before we will, right? And that is, that will give a... you know, sucker to the Brexiteers in the UK. They'll attribute it to Brexit. I don't think it is because of Brexit, but they'll say it's a benefit of Brexit.
Right. Finally, about a minute to go. You're also, I know, involved in Irish sailing, and you're a liaison there with the Olympic Federation of Ireland. Will the Olympics go ahead?
Probably. We're certainly planning for it going ahead. If it does, it'll be a different kind of Olympics. I mean, I think, you know... There's so many different competing factors here, Damien. But one of the things I think we're all learning is that in this very challenging time to sport is a great refuge for society, right? It's and the Olympic movement is going to want to find a way of putting the Olympics on. They are currently planning on doing it. It'll obviously have less crowds. There's going to be a big debate around whether the athletes get vaccinated and when. But for the moment, we're certainly planning on it going ahead.
Okay, and my final question related to sport as well. You're very much involved with Munster Rugby. The Six Nations starting next week. There will be a debate about whether sport should be continuing or not in the current circumstances. On balance, is it right that we should allow elite sport continue?
It's absolutely right. I mean, what we've got to balance here is the risk to the athletes and
sports people,
and sports people, the risk of athletes being a super spreaders for the virus. But also, we've got to look after the mental health of the wider population. I mean, frankly.
The GAA, you know, was a great saviour
for
a lot of
people. GAA or Premiership Soccer or Six Nations Rugby, we need something to be doing in this pandemic, you know?
Absolutely. Well, especially if your team is winning as well, it always softens it as well. Patrick, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. Patrick Coveney there, CEO of Greencore.